Hi, and welcome to this edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. Our mission here at Fresh Hope for Mental Health is to empower you to live well in spite of your mental health challenge by sharing insights through interviews, practical tools for living well, encouragement, and courage for overcoming all from a Christian perspective. And now, here's your host, Pastor Brad Hafes.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to Fresh Hope for Mental Health. I'm Brad Hafes, your host. Our purpose here on Fresh Hope for Mental Health is to empower you to live a faith-filled, rich, and full life in spite of having a mental health diagnosis. And today we have a special edition of Fresh Hope because we really want to talk to the clergy. We really want to talk to pastors, to people who are in ministry full-time. Those of you who are listening to this, you can certainly listen if you're not a pastor and not in full-time ministry, but we'd like to encourage you to share this podcast with your pastor or with those that you know at your church or friends that are in ministry full-time. It'll be really important because, I'm going to tell you straight up, in ministry, those of us who are serving in a full-time capacity or even part-time, really, it's hard. It's hard work, and it's gotten harder in more recent times. And the truth is that on Monday morning, I forget, and maybe Dave will be able to tell us how many pastors resign every Monday morning. I mean, it's some kind of incredible amount of pastors. Clergy face bouts with depression at a much higher rate than the general public does. And so, Pastor, we want to speak with you in a loving and caring way, and I have a very dear friend who has a real passion and a heart for pastors. He's not a pastor himself, but he's been pastoring all of his life and doing the work of a pastor, I'd say, but also of an evangelist. But he has a heart for pastors who are hurting. His name is Dave Anderson. He's located out of Phoenix, Arizona, and he's going to tell us about a ministry that the Lord laid on his heart some 8, 9, 10 years ago, maybe even longer ago than that, really put into place the dream and the vision about 8 to 10 years ago, and things started to happen. And it's called Shepherd's Canyon. And now, while Dave and I are both Lutheran, and if you're listening to this, you pray for us, because we are, but you can also just know that I think this ministry's for people of all denominations.
Oh, yeah. The name Lutheran is not in our name.
Right.
The name of the ministry is Shepherd's Canyon Retreat.
Yes.
And even in our constitution and bylaws, we are wide open to people in full-time ministry, mm-hmm. no matter what denomination or non-denomination they're affiliated with.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I want to welcome Dave. And as you can tell, he's very shy and he holds off until the very last minute. No, but I want to introduce Dave to you. And he's just a very dear friend, but I want him to tell you about this ministry. Because, Pastor, don't do like I did and wait too long to get help. If you're going through a rough patch or you're going through difficulties in the church or you've got something going on in your family, this is something you're going to want to do. It's something that could really help you. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, Dave, and tell us about Shepherd's Canyon.
Well, a little bit of background. I've been in lay ministry in the church for 52 years, and besides that, I'm a preacher's kid. So I grew up in parsonages in South Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And one day, when I was in ninth grade in a little town in South Dakota, I came home from school. My mother was in the kitchen. Every time I tell the story, I can picture my mom in the kitchen. My dad was in the living room, and he was sitting in the chair in the far side of the living room, and he was doing something I had never seen my dad do before, ever. He was crying.
Oh, my.
And I thought, well, I guess I thought somebody must have died. But who kind of was dying was my dad. And it wasn't cancer or heart disease. It was something called clergy killers. There are about 12 or 15 books out right now about clergy burnout.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is called Pastors at Greater Risk. Another one is called Dangerous Calling. Another one is called Clergy Killers. And that's about people in a church who cause chaos. And that could be one person in a church or two or three or a small group. And they can cause so much chaos that churches can split.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors can give up, quit, go to another church, or quit ministry completely. In my dad's case, there were maybe two or three people in the church in that he was serving that you would call clergy killers. Rumors, untrue stories, just backbiting, call it anything you want. And it brought my dad down. And my dad was a strong person. He was not a wimpy kind of person at all. And he actually had to leave parish ministry for a period of time. And it was a crisis in our family. It was a crisis in his life. And I wish the ministry that I lead now had existed back then.
Yeah.
So that my dad could have come to a place for counseling, for healing, and for affirmation.
Yeah, for building up.
So, yeah. And in the years that my wife Barb and I have presented thousands of concerts in churches all over America and around the world, we've met pastors in various stages of health and not health. What do you call it if it's not health?
Unhealthy.
Yeah.
Of course, unhealthy emotional situations in many cases,
I suspect. Yeah, that's right. I remember years ago, we were at a church in central Illinois, and there was a pastor there who we were just doing a concert in his church that evening. But in talking with that pastor, I remember that he was wound up so tight. I think he was at a point of falling apart, and he was not getting any help of any kind. I wish now, he's no longer living, I wish I could call him up and say, we have a place for you to come. So what I did a number of years ago, I called together some counseling professionals, some pastors, some business people in Phoenix, and I cast a vision. And of course, casting a vision is like if you have a ball and you're standing in front of a group and you throw the ball and somebody catches it, you say, thanks, glad you caught the ball. And when you cast a vision, you hope some people catch it and say, thanks for catching this vision.
Yeah.
And understanding the depth of clergy burnout, stress, depression, compassion fatigue, conflicts of all kind, moral failure sometimes. So we established a ministry called Shepherd's Canyon Retreat. The website is very simple, shepherdscanyonretreat.org. But if you're going to go to that website, remember that Shepherd has two H's. So it's S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D-S, canyonretreat.org. And in the last 8 years now, we've had 67 retreats. Week-long retreats conducted by two counselors, male and female, and the retreat chaplain.
And these counselors are certified
therapists. Counseling. They're licensed counselors, licensed marriage and family therapists, clinical psychologists, or licensed professional counselor. And there's one other. I can't remember what that designation is. And they are people that are not only licensed Christian counselors, but they are people that have had experience counseling church workers. And that's a different world.
Right.
And so they've been involved in that kind of counseling along with lay people, you know, welcoming lay people for counseling services as well. So we rented retreat centers for several years. And then through a series of miracles, we were able to buy some property and some buildings at a place 15 miles west of Arizona's cowboy town called Wickenburg, Arizona.
Yep.
And there we are. It's a place called Standing Stones Retreat Center. That website is standingstonesarizona.org. And people come to us about, I think we've had 350 or 400 people that have come to us from all over America.
Amazing.
In small retreats. These are not large gatherings. The most number of people we can handle at a retreat is 8. We've had retreats with 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and sometimes 8. They come on a Tuesday. The retreat begins with a dinner. We lavish great hospitality on the people who come.
I can attest to that because I've served as a chaplain a couple of times.
Great food. Great comfort, and actually better comfort now than when you were there.
Must do it again then.
Yeah, right. And then the next day, now I'm not the therapist, I'm just the president of the organization, but there's a group session that meets Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and again on Sunday and Monday. And then the afternoons are given to appointments with two counselors and a couple, or the male counselor with the male client, female with the female, and so forth. In a period of a week, about 25 hours of counseling takes place in various settings. And Saturday is a day off. People can come up for air and process what they're experiencing and just have fun looking at the surrounding area.
And there's a nice pool there.
Oh, 49,000 gallon. It was there before we bought this place. And it's almost big enough for a boat. Not quite. And we've got you haven't seen this, but a fabulous heated spa that eight people can sit there all in the same time. Oh, it's beautiful. It's brand new.
And wonderful.
Yep. We have 9 acres out in what's called Arizona's High Desert. And it's a beautiful place, about 90 minutes from the Phoenix Airport.
Not far from that very famous recovery place that all the famous people go to, right?
15 miles from Wickenburg, where there are 3 rehab centers. In fact, when I told some of the neighboring ranches that we were going to have a retreat center, they wondered if we were going to do rehab. And I said, well, kind of. And I said, we're Christians and we're going to have primarily church people, but then between the counseling retreats, other church groups come and use our facility as well. The last full day of the retreat is Monday, and my friend Brad, who's on the other microphone, was the chaplain at one of the retreats about 3 years ago and wanted me to provide him with a river rock and a Sharpie pen for each one of these clients. A small river rock, you know, as big as a pancake, that sort of thing. And so I wondered what in the world that was all about. And he said, well, you're just going to have to wait and see. And every chaplain at every retreat ever since has given the clients at noon on the last day a river rock and a Sharpie pen. And he says, I want you to, sometime this afternoon, write on the rock what you're leaving behind here. And then after dinner, depends on the weather and how nice it is or how chilly it is, they go out to our prayer garden, and there's a very special place, an outdoor chapel, where they read to each other what they've written on their rock, and then they place the rocks at the foot of the cross. And there's a rock there that says fear, and another one that says anger, and another one that says I'm leaving shame at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. There's a rock there that I have with me right now that says hopelessness. Leaving hopelessness behind you is a big deal. Mm-hmm. There may be somebody listening right now who's in the middle of hopelessness or such discouragement in ministry that you're ready to throw in the towel. Number of people have come to us who have been at that place and have been renewed in their own life, in their marriage, and in their ministry. The other day, I was a guest in the home of a pastor in Texas who had been at, he and his wife had been to one of our retreats maybe 2-3 years ago. And before we parted, his wife said, there's something I want to tell you. She said, the retreat we attended saved our marriage. And now we've just heard that again it's happened several times, I think. Mm. But we've just heard it today. I've heard someone say that they had been told that by another client. I took some people to the airport a few months ago. One of the pastors grabbed my shoulders and his head was about, 10 inches from mine face. And he said in slow motion, this has been a life transforming experience. So I was really touched by that. And we've had other affirmations and testimonials that this ministry is effective. Hardest thing, Brad, for a pastor to do is pick up a phone and say, I need help.
Yes.
I've said several times, if I could give some pastors a choice between 3 root canals or picking up a phone to say, I need help, they'd wonder what dentist.
Oh, I'd take 4 root canals, even 5.
Well, it's hard.
Yep.
For a person who's the one to whom people go for help, to say, okay, I'm at a stage where I need help. Our marriage needs help. My spouse needs help. We're together a bit sinking in discouragement and in conflicts and maybe even a fragile marriage.
Right.
So I would encourage you to pick up a phone and call. Can I give a number?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. 480-588 8833. 5-888-3-7. You know how Australians would give that phone number? 5-888-3-7. That's Australians always say triple and double. 5-888-3-7.
I like it
because
that's how I think.
Yeah. And, but call up. We have a procedure that I can explain for intake. And the cost for a couple is $3,500 for the retreat for all expenses in
and how
accommodations
do people
and meals.
Pay for that?
How do they pay for that? Sometimes personally, sometimes the church body helps with that in scholarship funds. Sometimes, one time a pastor from North Dakota called me and I told him what the cost was. Now, mind you, we don't always get it and we never turn anybody away. Make sure you hear me say that. And he said, we just don't have funds for that. I said, well, I'm sorry. But he said, you know, I have a rich cousin who really loves the Lord. And the next thing we knew, we had a $3,500 check from the rich cousin who said, I'm really glad to sponsor my cousin and his wife. And it was really a hoot. That's the only time we've had that exact thing happen. But
And insurance, might insurance pay for some of it?
A little
the
bit.
Therapy? Or
a
the...
little bit. But the we have tried to bring the cost down. There's another retreat center that charges for the same kind of ministry, $5,900 for a week for a couple. And we've tried to keep our costs down absolutely as low as we possibly can so that people can afford to come. And if they can't afford it, they just need to tell us. And we'll do whatever we can to make it possible for them to come.
Right. So give that phone number again, would you?
The Australian version?
No,
oh,
just
the regular
the
version?
Way.
All right. 480-588-8837. And what I will do is talk to you a little bit and give you the phone number and name of our counseling care director. You have a conversation with him. His name is Phil Lee. And then once you're comfortable with what we are offering is being a good fit for the circumstance you bring, then I'm back on the phone with you to talk about travel and what time we'll pick you up at the airport. And we ask people, we just tell people, don't rent a car. It's going to sit at the retreat center for a whole week, and there's no point.
Yeah.
And we have a great time. And people have had absolutely life-transforming experiences with us. So if you're listening and you know somebody, let's say that you're in a very good place right now emotionally, but you may know a ministry colleague someplace who is not doing well, tell them about this ministry, Shepherd's Canyon Retreat. Again, the website, shepherdscanyonretreat.org, 480-588-8837. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and pass this on, this podcast on, to those that you think might benefit from knowing about this ministry. It is very difficult as a pastor to ask for help. Many times pastors, we get wrapped up into performing our ministry as opposed to it coming out of our hearts. And then we feel empty inside. Pastors tend to deal with mental health issues more so than the general public. Like I mentioned before, depression could be keeping you down. While medicine is a key component in that recovery, sometimes you have to change your thinking and how you're looking at things or how to not let things get you down in ministry and those kinds of things. So one thing we didn't cover is sometimes not both spouses come, right? Because there's issues.
We really encourage a person to come with their spouse. I mean, we twist arms and we do everything we can. Bring your wife, bring your husband. But if that is not possible for some reason, let's say because of childcare just cannot be arranged, or because the spouse has a job that cannot be just gotten out of for a week, then we want the person to come as by themselves. It'll be a greater benefit if both of them are there. I remember one time, can I tell a funny story?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was in Alaska and I was visiting with a pastor who had followed a sort of a train wreck ministry before he got to this church. So we were talking about that and I said, how are you doing? Well, he said, boy, it's been tough. And I said, well, why don't you and your wife come to one of our retreats? Well, he said, my wife would never come. I said, why is that? Well, he said, she's a very private person, and she'd be afraid that she'd have to say something. Mm-hmm. And she's just not the kind of person that would sit in a group and say anything. I said, here's what you do. You tell your wife, you've taken it from the person who's the founder and the president of this organization, that if she comes to the retreat, she is not going to have to say a thing. You just tell her that. He said, you mean that? I said, absolutely. They came. Well, once she figured out in the first few, I don't know, minutes maybe or hours of the retreat that it was a safe place and that people in that room were just as wounded as she and her husband were, it all came out. And at the end of that week, she said to me, I've been talking a blue streak since I got here. And I said, I suspected that might happen. But I said, nobody was going to twist your arm to say anything. No, she said, you're right about that. But the atmosphere was such that it was,
sure,
it was conducive to just say, you know, here's what I think and here's what I'm feeling.
And that
right now
really says that it really truly is a safe place.
It is.
And and here's the thing, Pastor, if you're like I was and have been far too many times in my life, you think, where do I turn? Because if I talk to somebody within my denomination, I could lose my pastoral role, I could lose my congregation, do you turn to people in the church? Because then you stand the chance of there being a lot of gossip and everything. And this is a very safe thing where it's my understanding that if I were to come as a participant, you may or may not have any contact, and it's not like you report it to the uppity-ups in the denomination, correct?
That's right. Yeah, somebody asked me one time if we would tell their district president about them being at a retreat. I said, no, not if you want to tell them, you can do that, but we're surely not going to be the people to do that. And I just want to assure people, too, that the only people that are in the retreat counseling sessions are the counselors, the chaplain, and the clients, not any of the rest of us who are serving, providing hospitality. We're not sitting in on any of those sessions, not even meals.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we say it's a safe and confidential place, we take that very, very seriously.
Yes. And I've done the chaplain, been a chaplain for this twice. And, you know, I can tell you folks that are listening, this is a safe place to go to. And had it been available when I crashed and burned, in fact, it would have been the right place for me.
Yeah.
And these are folks who have a burden and a passion for this. And so I really want to encourage you to check this out. It's shepherdscanyonretreat.org. And could you give the phone number one more time?
588-8837.
Well, you know, it is easy to remember that.
Yeah, 480-588-8837. We're in Arizona, so we're in the Pacific time until... Well, we don't change in Arizona.
Right.
So sometimes we're, you know, an hour different from other states and sometimes 2 hours. So anyway, call us anytime.
We're recording this podcast in the middle of October, and October is Clergy Appreciation Month. And if you really appreciate your pastor, pass this along to them. You may not even know whether they need encouragement or not. They do. And the Lord does. And if the Lord lays this on your heart to pass it along, just hit the share button below this podcast. And well, my friends, we thank you for listening to this edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. And I pray that it's been helpful to you. And like I said, we encourage you to pass along this program. So until the next time, may the Lord fill you with His hope, fresh and new daily. I'm Brad Hafes, and this has been another edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health.
You've been listening to Fresh Hope for Mental Health. If you have an opportunity, please review, share, and subscribe to the Fresh Hope for Mental Health podcast on iTunes or on the service that you use. We encourage you to share our podcast on social media with your friends and family. Previous podcasts of Fresh Hope for Mental Health can be found at freshhopeformentalhealth.com, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes. Fresh Hope is one of the leading networks of faith-based peer support groups internationally. For more information about Fresh Hope, go to freshhope.us.